today as we come to the table.
Is God not outside the natural? So who needs somebody outside the natural to work in their life tonight? It's nothing for him. It's nothing. See, we limit it.
That could never happen.
Why? Because we could never do it. God's not up there going, yeah, this is too hard for me. What am I going to do? Oh, no. Right? Now, he's going to do what he wants, but he has all authority and power. So you come to a place where you trust God. Hezekiah, indeed, if this did happen, he saw God's power, as we're going to see in this chapter. And when Sennacherib, the guy, show up, and from this point on, he trusts God. I don't know how this is going to happen, but it doesn't matter. It's not up to me. God is outside of the natural.
God isn't limited in any way by any means. There isn't anything that can put parameters or even understanding on the ways of God. He is outside of what any person could imagine, control, or tame. The Lord's ways and His thought process are far greater and more powerful than what a human could comprehend. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you that God is outside of the natural. He isn't confined by human nature as you and I are. He is supernatural, meaning everything He does is done without the worries and limited understanding that you and I have to live and make decisions based on. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah chapter 38 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Isaiah chapter 38, as we continue on through the book of Isaiah. And as you guys, as always, as you're finding your way there, let's ask for God to really just bring His word alive to us. So Father, we thank You, Lord, for tonight. And Lord, look forward to what You have for us this evening. Lord, it's always just a pleasure and a joy, God, to gather together, to get in Your word as a body of Christ, and just to be with You and to seek You together as a family, Lord. Lord, we love seeking You individually, but we also love seeking You as a family. So I pray You'd open Your word to us tonight. God, there's many different things that are needed here tonight. People coming with things they need to hear from You, and maybe ways they need You to move in their life. And maybe there's some that You're going to say something to, Lord, and show them something they're not even expecting tonight. So God, have Your free reign to do what You want, and help our hearts to be sensitive to receive, help our ears to be open to hear, and just bless our time, Lord, as we get back into Isaiah tonight. So we thank You, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we made it up to chapter 38, and we'll see how far we get tonight. We ended last time looking at, remember, the battle where Hezekiah was ruling, and we have the Sennacherib coming in with his army, 185,000 there on the hillside. Remember Sennacherib, for those of you that have been with us, he'd been wiping out every other city in the region, every other town in the region. They were the world power at that time in that region, and about to go down as a world power, this being a part of that. But that's who they were. Remember, they had threatened Hezekiah. More than that, they'd come against God. And because they'd come against God, God says, well, now you've come against me. You're in big trouble. And so because of that, God judged them. An angel wiped out 185,000 of them in one night, and that's where we ended last week. Now, where we take up in chapter 38, although 38 comes after 37, remember, the Bible is not always written chronologically. And this is where many scholars believe that actually 38 may have happened prior to chapter 37. And again, those who have done the math and they look at Hezekiah's life and how long he lived and the chronology of what was going on, many believe that this chapter should actually be before chapter 37 and or was happening at the very same time. Now, if it was happening at the same time, think of the trial that Hezekiah is going through, because we're going to see tonight that God's going to tell him he's going to die. So imagine being told you're going to die, and then you're going through that at the same time that they're, you know, surrounding the city. Maybe if it was slightly before that, which again, many believe, then actually this probably would have been, and certainly would have been, a great faith builder. You know, here's the way faith works. Faith, there is a gift of faith. And so you'll read about that in scripture, and that'll be oftentimes where maybe you have some situation in your life and God just gives you the faith to believe he's going to do it. I mean, you're just like, I don't know, you're stuck on the side of the road and your family's like, what are we going to do? We're in the middle of nowhere and nobody's around. What are we doing? And God just speaks to her and says, I'm going to take care of it. And you tell your family, God's going to send somebody along right now. Just wait. God's going to take care of this. And sure enough, somebody pulls up and there they are. God gives gifts of faith like that where you can just at the moment have what you need. But for the most part, faith is something that grows with exercise. And God will give us small tests of faith. You know, like you start out with the small weights when you're working out spiritually. And you start out there doing just a few reps. God won't give you more than you can handle. And then God kind of adds more weight and adds more weight. And so you see throughout people's lives, you look at Abraham's life, the trials got more difficult. Now, when you first hear that, that's not exactly encouraging because you think, well, great, I'm getting older, I'm going to get harder trials. But depending on where you are, the trials aren't as much that much harder as they are just now. Let's see where you are now. Let's see where you are now. You know, see where you are now. You get the point. And so you're being tested. You're being grown. And I look at this. If indeed this did happen before chapter 37, think about what a faith builder this would have been when chapter 37 came along. In other words, there you are. You think you're going to die. God heals you. And we'll see that tonight. And then now you're surrounded by the armies of Sennacherib. But we're going to see tonight that God promised Hezekiah he was going to give him 15 more years of life. If God told me I was given 15 more years of life at whatever age I was, and I was being threatened to be killed that next week, you think I'd be worried? No. In other words, God just said, I'm going to live 15 more years. It doesn't matter if your armies surround our city. It doesn't matter if you've defeated everybody. It doesn't matter if you're killing everybody. You're not going to kill us, and you're not going to defeat us because God promised me 15 more years of life. And so therefore, I'm not afraid. So this would have been indeed, whenever it happened, it would have been a great faith builder. But if indeed it did happen prior to being surrounded by Sennacherib and his armies, imagine the faith that Hezekiah would have had. Hezekiah would have had great faith to go out to the people like Hezekiah did and say, trust God. I want everybody to trust God. And you see that kind of faith. How could Hezekiah know that? How was he so sure he could tell everyone to trust God? Well, if you just found out you were going to die and now God told you personally he was going to give you 15 more years, you could walk out to the people as well and say, trust God. We're not going to be dying this week. Or next week, or the week after, God's going to protect us. So faith is something you work out. It's something that God gives you in phases. It's something that gets you ready for the next trial. Some of you tonight might be in a really hard situation. And yet you're going to be in a much harder situation 5 years from now. And God knows that, because we all go through difficult times. And God wants you to know, when you think you're going to lose your house 5 years from now, God's going to say, now remember, you, right now you're having trouble paying those bills. Remember that? Did I come through? Yeah, you did. So I won't now. Somehow, now that we're 5 years down the road, I forgot what I did then, and I don't have enough money to cover inflation. Now, I'm not saying we don't go through harder times, and maybe we buy, you know, generic brand rather than, you know, whatever the most expensive brand is we like. That may happen. We all get that, even if it even shows up on the shelves. But may not even be there to buy, right? But the reality is, God says, you know what, I'm going to provide for you. And again, as we go into a time where there's a lot of questions and a lot of doubt and shelves emptying out some and people worried about what's going to be happening to the supply chain, yeah, we may have to be wiser. We may not have the abundance that we've had. But here's what the Lord, he gave us a promise as his people. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. When you go back and read all those things, you know what they are? Food and clothing. Place to live. So God has put his eternal word on the line. He said, you know what? If everything empties out, I'm still going to take care of you as long as. And here's the key. As long as you seek me first. Seeking the Lord first doesn't mean you say you seek the Lord first. Well, God's first in my life. He may not be. You may be playing a game with yourself. What it means is he really is first. He really does get priority. He really is the one that's leading your life. If you are really in that place, fully committed, you will have food, you will have clothing, you will have a place to live. Now, that promise does not apply to anyone else. And that's a sobering thought, but it just doesn't. That promise is not just for the Christian. The Christian can't say, well, God promises, you know, seek first the kingdom. No, God said, for those who seek first the kingdom. Are you seeking first yourself? Are you seeking first the world? Anyway, you get my point. So Hezekiah here, if indeed it did happen first, he's seeking God with all of his heart because he thinks he's going to die. And then God comes through in a huge way, as we'll see tonight, when Sennacherib surrounds the city and all these, you know, armies are all over the place. I mean, he could look at those armies with great confidence and go, you're going down. You don't have a chance. Fear is gone. See, the good thing about growing in faith and when you see God work in your life in the past is you just trust God. We first started the ministry, and you know, you're always kind of like that step of faith, like, okay, God, are you going to come through? Is this going to happen? What's going to go on? And you know, you there's a lot of things going on. Number one, it's not even so much that you're doubting God, as you wonder, did I really hear God right? Am I really called? Am I supposed to be doing this? So you go through all those. You know, God's great, but maybe I heard him wrong. So maybe we will go under, right? But then once God established the fact, and he did that through scripture and other things for me by the Spirit, he made it clear to me, I've called you to Knoxville, Mark, and unless you just do something stupid, I'm going to continue to work through you, and the ministry's going to continue to go. And if you do something stupid, I'm taking you out. But if you don't get stupid, I'll continue to work, and we'll do. So I know that promise is here from God. Till the day I die, I know that promise is here from God. So it doesn't matter what trials, and there have been some trials that have come up. You know, what are we going to do, and how's it going to work, and what about the finances, and what about this and that? I know God's going to take care of it. That's why I honestly, look, I don't know. And I didn't mean to get off on this long, you know, diatribe before we get into the word, but I'll just say this, you know, one of the things we've been doing is looking at whether, you know, expanding and looking at drawings and all that kind of stuff, and we don't have the money for that, but the bottom line is I can confidently move forward. I have such peace moving forward, getting drawings done, paying to get drawings done, doing everything that needs to be ready, because it's almost like David. When David was getting older, he got all the materials because he knew that God was going to build the temple with Solomon later. And so I know, I don't know that God's going to for sure do the building, but I'm moving forward as though he is because I see the need of the body. I see us growing. I believe that's how God is leading. And so if it doesn't happen, I'm fine with that. I'm not going to jump up and down and cry, and we're not going to start begging for money. And it's you guys. If you guys don't move right now, we're not going to be able to, well, you know, is God doing it or are you guys? Okay, God better be doing it or we're all in big trouble, okay? That doesn't mean God won't use us. We all have to be obedient. I know that. But here's my point. I can say to you very confidently, we're moving forward on that, and we believe God's going to do it. We'll see what God's going to do. And then you say, well, do you have the money? Nope. We don't. But I have total confidence that if God's going to do it, that's not even, it's, see, at this point, after over 30-some years of walking with the Lord and watching all these years of ministry where he's done things where I was panicked, now I realize his power, I rest in it, and I have zero doubt that if he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Abraham, God used him as an example of faith. And so all these different phases God took Abraham through. And I love that whole scene where Abraham's there and God promised Abraham, I'm going to give you a baby. And he's like, wow. So like, I'm like, you know, really old. And, you know, and you know, Sarah, I mean, she's like, she's still attractive for in her 90s, but Lord, you know, that's why Sarah's in the tent laughing when I said she's in her 90s. Going, I'm like going to have a, you know, going to have a baby a year from now. You know, the angels came, the Lord and two angels came a year from now, going to have a baby. She's in her 90s. Think about that. And she's going, I'm going to have a baby. And God knows, he knows everything, right? Sarah, did you laugh? Eyes this big, right? No. And like we all probably would have done out of fear, maybe, you know, maybe lie or something. God, yeah, you laughed. Trust me, you're going to have a baby. So I imagine that next year, you know, Abraham and people you're running into, you know, and I love, you know, Abraham's sitting there, you know, and people see him and he's just all excited and happy. You know, why are you so excited? Because we're having a baby. You're having a baby. Whoa. All right. Way to go, old man. Good for you. It's like pretty amazing. That's pretty shocking, you know. And well, so how old's your wife? Well, she's in her 90s. Whoa, okay. So this is really something. This is amazing. So how far along is she? Oh, she's not pregnant yet. You're sure you're going to? Oh, yeah. How do you know? I've walked with God for many years. He's never, ever failed. And he told me. But that's going to take like a supernatural miracle. You know that, right? So what? He's like not supernatural? The word supernatural means outside the natural. Is God not outside the natural? So who needs somebody outside the natural to work in their life tonight? It's nothing for him. It's nothing. See, we limit it. That could never happen. Why? Because we could never do it. God's not up there going, yeah, this is too hard for me. What am I going to do? Oh, no. Right? Now, he's going to do what he wants, but he has all authority and power. So you come to a place where you trust God. Hezekiah, indeed, if this did happen, he saw God's power, as we're going to see in this chapter. And when Sennacherib, the guy, show up, and from this point on, he trusts God. I don't know how this is going to happen, but it doesn't matter. It's not up to me. God is outside of the natural. He's the supernatural. I'm in the natural. But he works beyond that. He walks on water. So we trust him. And in those days, verse 1, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord. Now this, remember, when a prophet said, thus says the Lord, thus had better said the Lord. Here's how this works. Prophets didn't always speak for God. They made mistakes. They did things wrong. They didn't. Everything they said didn't come to pass. They weren't like the walking prophet constantly. When they heard from God supernaturally, God would speak to them and they'd say, okay, here's my word. Then they would go and they'd make it official to the people of the nation by the introduction, thus saith the Lord. Because that way they realize this is not me speaking. This is God Almighty speaking. So now Hezekiah goes with a message from God Almighty to Hezekiah. Thus says the Lord. Hezekiah knew Isaiah was a proven prophet. So he knew this was from God. And this is what he says to him. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Now think about that. How would you like it if you knew that God just spoke to you and said, you better get all your affairs in order, your finances, your home, get all your things taken care of, your insurance issues, your family, or whatever you have to do. Get that on order because you're about to die. That's pretty much guaranteed. I'm about to die, right? You're going to die. It didn't get any more sure than that. And so Hezekiah then turned his face toward the wall and he prayed. Now Hezekiah was about 39 years old at this time. He's a young king. And also realize this, he had no children. Now, why was that important? That wasn't just important for a king to be able to pass on his heritage. Who's going to carry the line of the Messiah? So we're going to see that God grants him a son because God's going to give him more time. This is the time when Manasseh's born, when God gives him these extra years. I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. We'll get to it in a second, but I kind of opened the door, so I'll go and address it. Manasseh's going to be born because God extends his time. And there's people back and forth that go, he never should have asked for more time, because Manasseh turns out to be one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. Manasseh, the one here that Isaiah hears from God and speaks to Hezekiah about, he's the one that cuts Isaiah in two. So Isaiah's prophesying now to Hezekiah that he's going to get more life here in just a moment. And in that, during that more life, he gives him a son, and that son now saws Isaiah in two. So Isaiah's almost the messenger of his own killer. Right? He doesn't know that at this point. But a lot of people say, you know what? If God says you're going to die, just you should die. I mean, don't fight it. If God says it, I'm not talking about friends or a doctor or whatever, or somebody doesn't like you. But if God says it, you know, if God says it, right? And so there's an argument to be made there. There's an argument. Okay, maybe he should have just not asked for the extra time. Maybe the reason God was going to take him out because God knew this wicked Hezekiah would, this wicked Manasseh would be born, which was Hezekiah's son. And so to spare the nation all the evil of Manasseh and all the people that he put to death and all the wickedness, Hezekiah should have gone on to heaven. And that's pretty much for years where I stood. I said, you know, Hezekiah, God told him he should have just not prayed about it. And just, you know, I know that's easy to say from my vantage point. I'm not the one that was just told I'm going to die. But look at the results. God knew what was going to happen. God was sparing the people. But there is now, and again, as time goes on, you kind of tend to think of things a little bit differently. There is the argument that he didn't have a child. And, you know, you think about it, somebody had to carry on the messianic line. So without Manasseh, you couldn't have carried on the messianic line that eventually led to Jesus. Now, God could have done it certainly some other way, supernatural, but that's the only way here we see that could have happened in the natural realm, the line of Messiah through the kings of Israel. So through the line of David. So he had to have a son on the other side. Well, he had to. So this whole thing comes in, you know, what should it have happened? It had to happen. God is sovereign. God knew it. And by the way, on behalf of Manasseh, he was an evil, wicked king. But then God judged him. God chastised him brutally. And Manasseh, in the last years of his life, he repented and became a wonderful king for the nation at the very end. But he had done just so much damage that God said, Manasseh did so much damage while he was wicked, I'm still going to judge the whole nation. So the consequences carried on, although Manasseh was forgiven. By the way, as believers, we need to understand that. God forgives us of our sin, but it doesn't mean our consequences all disappear. So if you've got consequences tonight that haven't disappeared, and you're going, has God not forgiven me? Yes, he's forgiven you. If you've asked his forgiveness, he's true to his word. His blood cleanses. But if you've done something where there's a consequence that God's going to allow to remain for whatever the reason, then you know God doesn't always remove the consequences. God has removed some consequences from my life, and God has allowed some consequences to remain. So that's up to the Lord, but I'm forgiven. I'm completely forgiven, you know? And yet the consequences for Hezekiah, they're going to continue on because of what happens here. And so, again, either way, whatever the answer is to this, we don't know. But 39 years old, you can imagine his desire to still live. He turned his face toward the wall and he prayed to the Lord. And we're going to see in a minute when he describes his prayer, he was weeping and crying out. You talk about with seeking the Lord with all your heart. He was doing it. And he said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And Hezekiah was a good king. He wasn't saying I'm perfect, but he was saying, God, I've honored you. I've served you. I've tried to lead the people in righteousness. And so, Lord, have mercy on me. And again, he'll reveal a little bit more about what he said when he was praying, when we get to his prayer here in just a moment. But notice this. This is so interesting. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The Bible tells us in another place, he was leaving. He was walking out in the court. Well, no, actually, that was David. I'm sorry. But it tells him, I think it happened that very night. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father. Here comes another, thus saith the Lord. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Surely, and there's where the confidence comes in, I will add to your days 15 years. Now, that may not sound like much at 40 years old, right? That's only 55. But again, 70 was an old life in that day. Now, certainly that's still not a super long life, but God did give him another 15 years. And maybe whatever it was that was wrong with him, God temporarily made it go into remission. We'll see that God healed it. Maybe it came back. We don't know exactly how it came out as far as that goes. But God promises now he'll give him more time. And he says, I will deliver you from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And again, this is why, again, people say it had to be before, or God wouldn't have said, I'll defend this city. And it would appear to say that in the scripture. Those that would argue it came afterwards might say that it was a promise of future protection because he'd already come once. But I think this indicates that indeed this happened before chapter 37. So this would have been, again, a great test for him and a great faith builder for Hezekiah in this. Now, before we go on, I want to mention something. Again, these are one of those theological things that you'll never figure out, okay? But at the same time, I want to point it out to you because this is something that people often argue about in the church. You're never going to resolve this, but notice what happens here. God tells him, you're going to die. And then when Hezekiah prays, God says, all right, you're not going to die. So did God change his mind? The Bible says that God never changes his mind. He's almighty. So God didn't change his mind because the Bible says God never changes his mind. What that means is God knew in advance that he would tell him he's going to die. And that was what he was going to do if he didn't pray. But God, knowing he would pray, said, all right, you prayed, I'm going to give you 15 more years. So we see the sovereignty of God over everything, but we still see the choice of man interacting with that. Isn't that interesting? It's hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp. But you see so many times the choice of man and the sovereignty of God in one or two verses literally tied together. They can't be separated. And this is why it drives so many people crazy. They want to try to figure it out, and they want to divide and break up portions of the church and who believes this and that. The Bible teaches both. And so if you can just settle in your heart, the Bible teaches both, and we'll never understand it fully until we get in heaven. You're always going to be fine. It won't be an issue. But it is interesting to see here that God does allow the prayer of Hezekiah to change a thus saith the Lord statement that God just made, and yet the Bible says God is sovereign and doesn't change his mind. So it shows us this was all done before the earth with God's pre-knowledge and God knowing he would pray that and then God granting that grace. So I'll just let you, most of you say, well, that's fine. Let's move on. Some of you won't be able to sleep tonight. Anyway, I'll let y'all deal with that. Thanks. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for giving me all this to have to worry about. Anyway, I'll add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And look at the confidence. Now you can see why he walked out and said, God's going to deliver it. Don't be afraid of Sennacherib. God is our deliverer. And this is the sign to you from the Lord. Here's the sign that the Lord will do this thing which he's spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow of the sundial, which has gone down, that is already, on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. Whoa.
You've been listening to Come to the Table, a ministry of Pastor Mark Kirk at Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark is continuing a verse-by-verse study of the book of Isaiah. While this book is full of warnings for the wicked kings of Israel and Judah, it also provides hope by describing the coming of a figure known as Emmanuel. This future ruler is said to come from the line of David and will make right all that has gone wrong in the nation of Israel. You and I know this Emmanuel as the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible teaches us that he's coming back soon to establish a new kingdom on this earth where there will be no more suffering, no more tears, and no more death. The pain and conflict of this world will melt away and be replaced by a new and glorious Jerusalem. Now, if you've recently accepted Jesus' gift of salvation, we'd love to get connected with you and help you get started on your journey of following Christ. You can give us a phone call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Click on Come to the Table, and then click on the Questions and Comments tab. On our website, you'll also find a link to the Way Media app, which is where you can listen to live programming on the go, or you can access past broadcasts from Pastor Mark. Well, we're running out of time for today. We hope that this study in the book of Isaiah has blessed you today. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.